Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Now take a listen to this. My head has always been full of noises, like normal sounds that everyone experiences. Street noises, cars, music, running water and chatter. The only difference is that these sounds stay in my head even when I am alone. Now, that was taken from Pretty Sane, which is an incredible book on what it's like to live with schizophrenia. Now, the author, Nicola Wall, joins me now. Hi, Nicola.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Thank you so much for coming on the show, first of all. Nicola, a few years ago, you wrote down a list of three things that you wanted to achieve. One was make a documentary, the other was go on the Late Late Show, and then you wanted to write a book. And you've done all three?
Yeah, all three now.
Congratulations. And people would know you from your appearance on the RTE documentary, Schizophrenia, The Voices in My Head. Can I ask you, what made you decide to tell your story on national telly?
It was, for me, I got diagnosed with schizophrenia nearly 10 years ago. And at the time when I kind of came out of the clinic for the first time and did use the word schizophrenia, I went online, as you do, and started looking for people who had had similar experiences and had come out the other side, or, you know, were living a normal life with schizophrenia. And I found it really hard to come across stories. So a few years later, I decided to start talking about schizophrenia to people and share my experience, because I just wanted to be that person for someone that they could look at and say, OK, well, this person lives a normal life with what they have.
The Late Late Show was a real moment, I think, because they showed the audience exactly what you live with on a daily basis. I have a clip here. Do you mind if I play it?
Yeah, perfect.
So, Nicola, when you hear that clip, what does that signify for you?
That's just my kind of normal day to day, what I hear in my head. I hear voices as well and talking, but that's mainly what I hear, is just background noise, except nobody else can hear it but me. And that's the way it's always been ever since I was a child, so I don't know any better. And yeah, that's just pretty much what it sounds like.
Yeah, so you've always heard voices. When you were little then, did you assume that that was normal and everybody was going through the same thing?
Oh, absolutely. I thought that everyone had voices in their head and everyone saw things. And it took me a long time to realise that that was the thing that made me different from other people.
And when did you realise that?
I was about 12 and I was in the playground, and I just had that moment of realisation where I always knew there was something not this. I knew I was some bit different, but I didn't know how. And that was the moment it kind of clicked, that I don't think people hear what I can hear. I don't think people have someone that lives in their head and talks to them all the time.
It's crazy to think that you were going through that right up until 12. Did you go to your parents? Did you go to family and say, I think there's something wrong?
Yeah, well, I'd been at this stage for assessments and to a child psychologist trying to figure out what the problem was. And it was more to do with kind of learning difficulties and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is 90s Ireland and they would never really think of mental health at that point. Yeah. You know, that would never really came into it. And when you're 12, I mean, you don't have the vocabulary to explain
what
you're feeling and that, you know, like most adults don't even have that vocabulary now. So I couldn't really properly explain until I was much older what I was hearing and what was going on in my head.
You said there's some voices in your head that are very, very clear. Can you talk to me about Freddie, who features predominantly in the book?
Yeah, so since I started speaking about schizophrenia, the most common question is people always want to know, what do the voices say? Like, what words do they use? Are they good or bad? And I felt like it was really, really hard to describe and kind of sum up Freddie really quickly and say, oh, he says this and that. So I felt a book was the only way to describe day to day the kind of things he says to me, the kind of conversations we have, and all the conversations happen in my head. I don't need to speak out loud to speak to him. I can just talk to him in my head. But he's kind of the most predominant voice that I've had my whole life. I've had others as well, but he's kind of the main one.
Yeah, you've spoken about that in the book, that there are other voices too, some okay and some really not okay.
Yeah, so I'm kind of lucky in the sense that now we don't have negative voices anymore, whereas okay. when I was younger, I had very negative ones then, you know.
And what changed, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it was just got older, got more used to it. I always think that I suppose lucky isn't the right word to use, but in the sense that I don't know any better, and I've never had it before getting sick. Like, I've always had this experience. So I've always been used to hearing voices, so I'm kind of more comfortable with them than someone who is living a normal life and then one day gets struck down with hearing voices, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, of course. But with all this going on, I'm guessing school was pretty tough.
Yeah, school was definitely a struggle. I knew I was different. I knew there was something not right. And, you know, trying to concentrate or learn or anything like that was just absolutely impossible. And trying to make friends and just trying to fit in, because schizophrenia comes with lots of other, you know, I'd struggle with communication and, you know, being social and that growing up a lot as well. So yeah, it was difficult.
Did you have friends in school?
Yeah, no, I did. I kind of had a few tough times with people and trying to get them to kind of understand. Me because I was different.
You changed secondary school after being bullied and took on a new persona and had an easier life then. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it's kind of, I think they call it masking, where you kind of just teach yourself and learn, because a lot of schizophrenia can do is it can affect your, you know, your emotions and your how you express emotions and how your facial expressions work. So I practice in front of the mirror and practice, you know, okay, my surprised face, my sad face, my happy face. And I learned all these things before changing school, so that I could kind of come across, as I say in the book, normal, because I used to think there was such a thing as normal. So I wanted to pretend to be normal so I could fit in more.
Now, I don't want to give too much away, but there are harrowing parts of the book where you tried to take your own life and ended up in a psychiatric care. What was happening at this time in your life? Were you just exhausted by the voices? Did they tell you to do it? What was going on?
Yeah, I had voices telling me, you know, you should do this or do that, but the one thing voices don't do for me is they've never been able to control me or anything like that. But okay. I was very, very, like, a lot of low points. And I think for anyone who contemplates suicide, I just can tell you that it's not necessarily that you're thinking, oh, I want to die. It's more that you just want whatever's going on inside your head to stop. And you just want, you don't care how it happens. You just need it to stop. You need a break from it. You need it to just go away, because you can't live with it anymore.
With everything going on, was it easy to maintain relationships and friendships?
But it wasn't. Mm. I was very lucky that I met my now husband when I was very young. So, you know, that helped a lot. I was 18 when we got together. I was 3 weeks out of a psychiatric ward when we got together. So that made it easier, that at least I've had him all along. And there was never a moment where I had to sit him down and tell him or anything. He always knew that I had the problems that I had.
And you're married now. And for most people, you know, some people, kids come next. Did that worry you?
Yeah, it did. Mm. And you know what? Less to do with worrying about, you know, how will I cope because I have schizophrenia, but more to do with the kind of stigma around it and worrying about little things like, oh, my children are older and they want to have birthday parties. Would people say, oh, you can't go to that child's birthday party because their mother has schizophrenia, or things like that, you know, made me kind of more nervous than anything else.
Did you have to do anything different to other women when you were pregnant?
Yeah, no, I had to have an assessment kind of at the beginning, and checkups at a clinic, and where they check, you know, that everything is kind of going okay for you. And then after I had him as well, and I was always okay, so I was always fine. I was very lucky that I didn't get postnatal depression or anything. But yeah, I think there's a big worry a lot of mothers have, that if you have any kind of mental health problems after having a baby, that they're going to take the baby from you or something. But it's not the case at all. They're there to support you. They're there to help. They just want to know that you're okay, and that's it's okay to ask for help.
And you've a beautiful son now, Danny, and you're expecting again. Congratulations. Are you loving being a mum?
Yeah, it's the best in the world. He'll be two now in December, and I'm due my little girl in November.
Your hands full there, don't you? You certainly do.
Yeah.
Can I ask, does your condition, does it make it challenging in any way?
Oh yeah, definitely. Every single day, you know, I have to kind of get up and decide what kind of day I want to have. Mm-hmm. I have to, you know, give myself all little pep talks throughout the day. Some days are harder than others. I can have really bad days and then I can have really good days. It's the same as everyone else, I suppose. But I just have to remind myself every day that, you know, this is hard and it's a struggle. But
Do you have good support?
It definitely gets better.
Nicola?
Yeah, my husband is fantastic. I lost my mum a few years ago, so I don't have her anymore, unfortunately.
Sorry to hear that.
But that was a huge kind of loss in my life that affected, you know, having children and that as well. But for the most part, I have good support.
Now, I'm sure people are wondering at this stage about medication, which you do talk about in the book. You're on a lot, which had just dreadful side effects. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so at one point I was in a psychiatric hospital for a couple of months, and at one stage I was on, you know, 12 tablets a day, say, of medication, and I was on the strongest dose of antipsychotics that there is. So it affected me so much, you know, physically, mentally, everything. It was such a challenge. The side effects were horrendous. Over time, I decided that they weren't for me. They really, really work for some people and they're great. And I think that, you know, I'd be totally for medication. But
it's not one size fits all. It depends on the individual.
If there was a magic pill that could make me better, of course, I would take it every day. But it didn't really work for me, so I didn't see the point in the end. So I came down very, very slowly. It took a long time to come down to kind of the lowest dose of medication and then come off it completely, like in a safe way. And I haven't been on medication now for years, which I think a lot of people kind of expect that people with schizophrenia kind of have to be on medication for some reason. Though it's like a mandatory thing, but it's definitely not.
So how are you doing now? How do you manage your condition and how's it all going?
Yeah, no, it's great. Look, I do my best. good days and bad. It's nice kind of to have the book and to hear other people's experiences and how they relate to me, and we're all different, but with the book it's kind of about mental health in general, not just schizophrenia. And I've had a lot of people kind of reach out and say that my story has helped them, or people that have never experienced any mental health difficulties, that it's helped them just understand other people in their lives.
Yeah, and that's why we wanted to have you on. Nicola, do you, over the years, have professionals, have they given you tools or therapy to help you, just to help you manage on a day-to-day basis, or have you kind of figured a lot out yourself since you've gotten older?
Yeah, a mix of both. I used to go to a really good CPT therapist, and CPT usually doesn't work for me, but she's at the Mind Gym on Instagram, and she helped me a lot, and she gave me a lot of tools that, you know, years later I still use. But a lot of it, yeah, has come from myself and just experience. And throughout the book, I give these tips on, you know, how to live with a mental health condition and little things that kind of universal to people with any kind of problems at all, really, how to cope with it.
So you've made the documentary, you're on The Late Late, you've written the book. Is there a fourth thing you want to do?
I'm having that little crisis at the minute. I'm just like, oh, I've done it now, what next? I'll definitely have to write another list.
You'll have to write another list because you're doing it all, and you're amazing, and I wish you all the very best of luck. Your book is amazing. It's a brilliant read. So Nicola, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. I wish you the best in your second pregnancy. How far along are you?
So I'm 8 months now, so I'm due very, very soon, the beginning of November.
The beginning of November. Brilliant. Will you let us know when the baby arrives and what you have and all that kind of stuff, and the weight and all those details, and if it has hair and all that kind of stuff we need to know. Nicola, thank you so much, and enjoy your day, okay?
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks,
bye.
Nicola, bye. And the book is amazing, guys. It's called Pretty Sane. It's an incredible read, and you should definitely go and read it. Nicola Wall, thank you again for coming on the show.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.